that the mother of Imam Astagiri claims Imam Astagiri is my son. But I do hereby disown him entirely.
Osin, never Emmanuel Asadiri, never miss it, or your no suffer, never. Emu or mama, more the credit him on what I said. Oh, a jab. Wow, poor,
On the 26th of May 2023, I lost my father. And this episode, I planned on recording it, I think, earlier, probably a week after he passed. That was last week. But a whole lot of things has happened that I had to delay the recording and all that. And as time went by, the content of what I wanted to talk about also started to shift a bit. So around March, we went for my friend Saeed's wedding at Kumasi. So I went with Gerald, Thomas, Maestro, a couple of us. It was fun. I took some nice pictures. Actually, I think my nicest pictures for this year were all taken in his house, beautiful house. So on our way back, on my way back, because I took Takradi car from Kumasi directly. My mom called and she was like, "Hey, Bakwesi, something has happened and I didn't want to, I mean, you were at a wedding, I didn't want to tell you and all that." I'm like, "Give it to me, I can handle it as a man." She said, "Oh, your dad has been admitted to the hospital, but previously, I think 2 days before, but he has been discharged, he'll be discharged that evening." I mean, since 2012, I've seen my dad taking medication and everything. It's like he wasn't really, really fit, but it wasn't like bad. So maybe you said, "Oh, I have some cold, he would take some drugs, or this is wrong." I mean, yeah, something like that. But it became serious last year or two, because when we in church, he wasn't standing, he was just always sitting. So I got home, it was late, I got home late, so I couldn't go visit. So the next day I went to see him. I think the next day I went there was it was a Friday. I went to see him on a Friday. My mom was there, his sister was there, my auntie. And to my surprise, this man sacked me. Well, I mean, I wasn't very surprised, or I just guess I was expecting that. Since he was unwell, maybe because in the previous episode I told you that there was some friction between myself and my dad. We didn't really have like some peachy perfect relationship. Yeah. So he sacked me, right? He sacked me. But I kept going. I mean, he told me to come the next week, so I didn't go till the next weekend. I'll be there. My mom will call me. "Oh, I didn't know my head, no. Auntie, I rush no hospital. Auntie, I'll go to the hospital. Oh, yeah, where you not be feel? I'll come home. Oh, you didn't know hospital, So it was like that. You understand? It was like that. I think we went to the hospital a couple, 5 times or so. And what was happening basically? We didn't know the sickness. Well, doctors, no, I can't change. "Oh, papa, I'm not here. Nebuwa, we nya, damadi." So they were just treating his symptoms. He has some headache, so as part of the medication, there's something to fix the headache or something like that. But we didn't know they were get a stroke, overpowering cancer, overpowering hypertension, overpowering them. We couldn't name the sickness. So sometimes even in the hospital, I mean, I was going there while he was in the hospital. I was visiting a lot, and when he's lying down, and my father is a heavy man. He's not fat. but he's heavy. He was a tall, big man. So this man, no other one, I want to sit. You have to raise him. You raise me up. Oh, yeah, easy. My mom even recorded a video of me lifting him up and all that. Challenge. If you are not careful, you will twist your triceps, no, which you know, and backbone or some, hey, bro, muscles, bro, funny. Triceps. You twist it because if it depends on how you're lifting him and all that. So we're doing that. But he looks good. There was a time that when I saw him, I got scared. I thought that my dad was going because he became very pale. Oh, Jesus. He became pale and he couldn't see me. So when I went there, one hour, and somebody said, Yima, what about Yima? Yima, I'm going to say, yes, that. Mohon, family to coffee. Like, at a point, he was just trying to sack me. Right? Not say my mom shouldn't also help him, hold him, or anything. Until the pastors came in and were like, yo, these two people are the people you started a ministry with, and then they are your wife and your child, so you need to allow them to do this. And then we started getting the access to even hold him and do these things for him. And Thursday was 25th May. I went to visit my dad. And then he bring more on our friend there. Yima. He wanted to haul her, so our hall, that's where there's a mattress, because he couldn't walk, but he was able to sit on his own. Excuse me for the noise, it's raining currently. Yeah, so he was able to sit. So we thought, fine, because he now he can sit and all that. So Thursday he said, Ima, yes, that come. So I went and he was like, will you work on Friday? I'm like, yeah, I'll work on Friday. He said, okay, then forget it. I'm like, okay, wait, I could ask permission. If you need something, I could ask permission and come. So what's up? It was like, okay, no problem. He needs me in the house around 8 a.m to 10 a.m so remember. I'm like, I could definitely do that. So when I went home, I quickly had to make shift a couple of things, move some meetings and everything. And then on the 26th, which was a Friday morning, I went. So when I went, I greeted him good morning, or the jido and all that. So I was there, then my pastor came. My pastor is in the church I attend. So I stopped going to my father's church, mainly because of distance. From where I stay to where his church is, I moved from the house, so there's distance and everything. So I attend the closest church here, the closest Assemblies of God. So my pastor came and he prayed and everything. So we're all there, and then he said, my dad sat down. He said, okay, the pastor is called Sofation, Reverend Ishen. He was like, Sofation, I called you here so that we would talk about my issue with Emmanuel. I didn't know how to feel about it. And up till now, I still don't know how to feel about this whole thing. It's like so much is happening. So maybe in another episode, I'll talk about opening up about my feelings. But I've tried to push every feeling away, because see, honestly, I'm gonna make it feel baby. And I break down, Charlie. Because I need to be strong for my mom, you understand? So I want to just hold off on all this feel thing until everything is over, then I could talk about that. So in there, it was a pastor, my dad, my mom, and then my aunt, my dad's sister. And my dad was like, Pakwesi, how do I even put this? You understand? What do I have against him? I'm like, no, I don't have anything against him. Then he started talking about me. When was the last time I came there? Since 2000. I was like, Charlie, 2000. I was staying in here with you. 2000 is like 23 years ago. 23 years ago, I was 7 years. You understand? 70, I was staying. We were not even here. We were staying together. And then he mentioned 2000. I mean, 2000, I was staying home. That's when I moved back from Accra and everything. So, I mean, his point was that for some time, I haven't been coming to the house. That was like for 2 years, since 2001. I haven't been coming there and all that. And all those things. I'm like, I mean, I'm sorry. But then definitely there was... I had tried. And that's the truth. I had tried to mend this. I've challenged. So later he was asking, what do I have against him? That means, senior man, I don't have anything against you. I don't have anything against you. Then he was telling me that he even decided that or the amemehoyel, my bitterness, he would keep it in his heart and go to his grave with my bitterness. I'm like, wow. I don't think they teach that in pastoral school. I mean, I didn't tell him that, but I mean, that was too extreme. It was too extreme. But he said that. And the pastor was like, yo, my man, relax, man. And his senior pastor, maybe them don't need a car. And he actually told me that in his will, he has written that he has disowned me and that when he dies, I shouldn't come to his funeral. He told me that. And then he asked his sister, Abi, like, asking for confirmation. Oh, say yeah. And say him the madi. And she said, oh, I don't know, but I don't trust that woman. That woman is a snake. I don't trust her. And she has done some snake-like stuff in the house. So my pastor was like, oh, suffer pain, man, I don't know, because you as a big man, a big pastor like that, you know, when people have issues with other people, they come to you so that you go and beg on their behalf. So how would they bear, you know, when they are begging on your behalf, you don't want to listen. Even the prodigal son crying on papa de chen. My dad was like, and the prodigal son, he had repented and he came to beg. I'm like, yo, senior man, can you count the number of times I've actually begged you for stuff? Because I came to beg you with the pastor and you even, I knelt down for you to pray for me and deliver me from all the evils that is causing me to be a bad son to you and everything. We've gone through this. So what again? And so he lied down. The chair was sitting. He lied down. So basically I was looking into his eyes whilst he was looking up to me whilst he was on the floor. And I was telling him that, see, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for everything I've done. Understand, I'm a child. Definitely, I'm going to hurt you or do some shit that you don't like. You understand? But I was expecting, I mean, you tell me and all those things. So every time I know I've done something that you're not happy about, I've come to beg you. And I don't have anything against you. You're my father. I would have shown from JHS and all those. You've paid for me. And so I owe a lot of what I am to you. I mean, basically all I am to you, because I'm Papa and Shem was schooler. And because he said, me and baby or some, or probably I'm dead. Meko you be nice come away shoot him. So all I am, I owe it to him and my mom. I was like, yo, I don't trust what you're saying. I don't trust the shit you're saying, man. And I'm gonna say, okay, no problem. I mean, I understand that it might sound like you or excuses or you don't trust this. I understand. But what can I do for you to trust me? And it was like, okay, you know what? Let's start afresh. Let's start everything afresh. So I was very happy. So like a new page in the relationship with myself and my dad. I was so happy. So I thanked him. I said, oh, thank you for this. I'm very happy about it. So you know what? I need to go to the office and then I'll come back. We'll talk. Yeah. And he said, cool, no problem. So when I was going, I said, thank you. He said, oh, no problem. My sister, everybody heard this. So they were doing a happy hour at my office. Happy hour at my office on Friday. Usually, I don't go to work on Fridays. I work from home on Fridays. I don't go to the office on Friday. But I am the team lead for one of the teams in the office. I always forget their name. So I had to go. So I went to the office. It was fun and all. I mean, we all had fun. And then a friend also came around, so we went to eat after that. So after eating, so around six something, I picked a boat. I was on my way home to drop my food. I bought some food. I didn't eat there, so I bought the food to drop it and come back to my father's place. Then my mom called me. Yo, has your sister called you? I have this sister. We'll talk about that. I'm like, yeah, she called me. I mean, she called me whilst I was in the office, and then she was complaining about something I think my mom did. So I was thinking that she actually went to confront my mom about whatever she was complaining about. So my mom was, has your sister called you? I'm like, yeah, she called me. What's up? And she was like, oh, you know, you're not going to polyclinic. I'm like, why not go to polyclinic? Because what my sister called about, they didn't have any hospital thing to do with this. I was like, I thought your sister called you. I'm like, Charlie, me, this is your sister called. What's happening? And she was like, oh, papa, go off. Is that any way to announce the death of somebody's father to them? Oh, papa, go off. Who taught you people that? Oh, or your father has kicked the bucket. I mean, fetch the tongue. I don't know about it. So, how did I feel when I heard the news? Chills. I mean, I felt some chills all over my body. I think this is the first time I've lost someone very close to me and someone I saw that day, you know, I saw. And I got scared. I got scared. I didn't know how. I still don't know how the feeling. I don't know how to. It was new to me, everything. So I told the driver, yo, hurry up and let's drop the food. My dad is dead, so I need to go back. He was like, oh, cinema, sorry. I'm like, yeah, about tape, no problem. Sorry. And, you know, we went home. He ended the trip. He took me back home to my father's place. I paid him off and all that. So at that time, that my sister, she has this car she brought. So my mom was in, and then apparently when somebody dies in the house, you need to take the person to the hospital to confirm. So we had to take him there. So I drove initially in Ukraine, but I drove, and then we went to there is this hospital at Sawmill in Takrady here. So we went, and then they confirmed. My mom was screaming and all those things. So I mean, I didn't know how to feel, but I just at least I needed some time to clear my head. But the tears and everything, it was too much. So I was indifferent about it. I was quiet. I think I told Chambers about it, and I texted a friend on Snapchat that, yo, my dad is dead. It was weird to say. I think I told my boss also. So they had to take him. That hospital, they don't have a mortuary. So they had to take him to, we had to drive. And there were some church members too. They came to actually take the body, and then we went to there's this hospital called Takrady Hospital. It's not like the biggest hospital in Takrady. I don't know why it's called Takrady Hospital. Apparently it was the first hospital in Takrady. There's a hospital called Takrady Hospital, or those in Takrady, they call it European Hospital. It was built by the Europeans. So that is where we went to the morgue, the mortuary. That's where we went to take the body. And I think I realized that he was gone when they were taking him out of the car and then sending him there. So I wanted to take a peep. When I'm going to, somebody's leg is there, I ran away. So basically, yeah, I lost my dad. So I'm a half orphan. And there has been a whole lot of development. So in the Akan Call channel, if a husband dies, right? And let's say, just like my mom and my dad's situation, my dad is not in his hometown. He's away from his home. My dad is from Apam, my mom is from Apam. So my dad came here to marry my mom, right? So me mama ne busi afono, the family, they need to go to his hometown, and then they go and officially announce to them that your son is gone. So whether you call them on phone or whatever, no, you still need to go there with, I think, schnapp and some money. They call it inkansa, to go and see them, and to call kesine there, your son is dead. And then they said, okay. So they came around, some of the family members came around, and then they were doing some shit. I mean, even before we went to officially see them, the nephew came and he has to open my father's things and all those. So it was a disgrace. It was disgraceful stuff going on, and people were like, come on, man, you've not even seen the man's body. That guy, that nephew, was yet to see his body at the mortuary, and then you want to open his things. And Charlie, relax. And then his sister, no, that Friday that we went to put him at the mortuary, he went to take the man's phones, and then the pastor told him to return it. Thief. So there's been some development and all that. So we were there now last week, right? Last 2 weeks. Today is when? Okay, so last week they told us that the family people called my family, one of my uncles, that Charlie, they have received a document, right? And then that document will require us to come there to Apam. Like, what document? He said, you no worry, there's a document that they've received, so we need to come there, and this time they should come with a son, or they said they should come with the children, Papa Nemba, because I mean, even though he gave birth to just me, there were some people, some other people that were staying with us that he was calling his son. So basically then, so it was Wednesday, so this Wednesday, today is Saturday, so last this Wednesday nah, we went there. We went to Apam, and the whole place looked new to me. I don't remember that I've been to Apam. I mean, I've been there a couple of times, but we went. And when we went, no, they did. Oh, Charlie, I'm learning things. I'm learning a lot of things. Whenever people are talking, they need Ochiame, a linguist. And then, so when you are talking, they can say, oh, Ochiame, tema on tunkro free day, day and a day and a day. So when you are done talking, Ochiame will say, monsempo. I say, oye. And then you that they've said whatever, if you want to reply, you talk to your Ochami. When they are done, the Ochami to say one sample. It's not easy. So the people gave us the paper. I think what my dad's people were trying to do was for us to settle the issues or whatever is in the paper. But my family members were, according to them, I mean, okay, so let me just backtrack a bit. Because my dad was a pastor in Assemblies of God, the church is going to handle his funeral, and then the funeral and everything, they have to do it where you worked. In Assemblies of God, we don't transfer, so if they put you here at Accra or Takrady or wherever, that is where you worked. So when you die, they do everything there. Sometimes I think even they bury you, but sometimes they make some space for some family members, or maybe we want to bury him in our hometown, they don't have a problem with that. But on a normal day, they do everything. They buy the coffin, they buy everything, they bury you where you worked. So the pastors, they sent us. The family members said the pastors should come and say, no, they are not going to come to Apam. So we should go and listen to whatever it is. So we went there to listen. But his family members wanted us to basically do the assembly. And we were going as messengers. So if you tell us this, they were looking for a reply and everything. So they told us that this is a paper that they got. They got a letter from the Commissions of Oath. And then they gave us a copy. My uncle was like, where is the original? They were giving us a photocopied version. He said, where's the original? I said, okay. So he compared the original and the photocopy to make sure that, I mean, it was that same paper. And then we took the photocopy and we told them, okay, we are going. And we're like, no, why are you going? He said, we came to listen. So you've given us the information. So we are taking it back to where the people who sent us. They said, no, we should read it. We should go and read it by force. We said, okay, no problem. We went out. We went to read it. We came. Okay, we've read it. So we are going. They said, no, why are you going? When we read it, we didn't even tell them anything. We told them that you people, you read the content of the paper. You read it yourselves. You didn't tell. When we came, you didn't tell us the content. You just gave us a paper to go and read. Which we've gone to read. Why should we come and tell you our own? And then they said, okay, they are also going to do small meetings, so we should give them the room. So we went out, they did their meeting, we came in, they said, okay, then they are going to read it so that everybody will know what is in the paper. So they were actually fishing for a reaction from us, and we're not going to give them that. And then they read it. There was a couple of points. The first one, my dad listed a couple of names that these people shouldn't come to his funeral. 8 people. So Ada, you people, maybe you know Ada, you don't know Ada and the father, I need my sister and the husband, some other sister, my uncle Chambers. I did an episode where I called there's an episode called Homesick. That guy, he has stayed with us since class 5. He said he shouldn't come to his funeral, and then I shouldn't also come to his funeral. Then he went ahead to talk about some nasty shit, some cases and stuff. And then my part is what you heard in the beginning of the episode, where he was saying, my mom claims that I am his son. So it's not like this is my son. No. My mom is the one claiming. So he doesn't know. What a shame. And then he said he has disowned me entirely. I don't know if you can disown somebody partially, but for him, full option, he has disowned me entirely. And then if anybody has any questions, you should go and ask my mom. And then my name was already up there. I shouldn't attend his funeral. And then I shouldn't invest any money directly or indirectly into this. So, again, I don't know how I feel about all this, but in as much as I knew that my relationship with my dad wasn't the best, I wasn't expecting that it should go to this extent. You understand? What makes it a bit easier on me is that he had a perfect relationship with my brother Chambers, but even he cross my mom Benay. You understand? So it's not me, it's him. You understand? So currently this is the update, because if I decided to wait, it feels like there's so much going to happen. So currently they're saying we should go back to APAM, and then they're going to try and overturn whatever my dad wrote and all those things. What do I want? Left to me, I will just not go. Let's just stick to his words. You understand? All these are his wishes. This is what he wants. And he knows that. And there's a part he also wrote that when he dies, they should take him to APAM. He knows that is against the rules of Assemblies of God. They do everything where you worked. But he's saying, yeah, they should take him to APAM. And anybody who goes, his family members has the full right to persecute anybody who goes against this. And honestly, his family members, they don't have money to even go to the court and go and do anything. So that part's there. So apparently we are supposed to go back to APAM. They're going to do some things to overturn it and all that challenge. It's just stressful, right? So currently this is the dilemma I'm going through, and I know it is tough on me. I have a feeling that I'm breaking down small. The least chance I get, I sleep, and I sleep a lot. I know that, I mean, sleep is my coping mechanism, and if I'm sleeping a lot, I know that it means I'm going through a lot, but I don't want to really start opening things up and all that. But if there's any advice I can give to especially our women out there, see, this is not an agenda that I am pushing. If you're going in for a man that you want to spend the rest of your life with, don't just focus on the material things. Don't just focus on, oh, he has money, so he's goals. I don't mind. I'll go and cry in a car in Dubai. I'll cry in a Range Rover. All these things, Charlie. When real gets to real, or when it's real and you are in there, and then he's more treating you, the money wouldn't matter. I can remember the number of times, not really, I can't even count it, that my mom has cried because of the things she's going through. Oh, she did this to love this man. You understand? So please, if you're a woman and you're going in for a man, let us not just look at them. Oh, he has six packs. Oh, he has this. Oh, he's a beautiful man. I mean, those things will attract you. That is good. But let us bring back the old qualities that women used to look for in a man. That he respects you, that he adores you, he protects you, all those things. Let's not make material things because of the material things we want. Oh, he bought an iPhone for me, so yeah. Even though he slaps me, he takes me on a vacation, and he just beats me a little bit, but then, you know, he subscribed for some data plan for me. Let's not make them. I mean, money is good, money is nice and everything, but when you are in there with him alone, that money wouldn't matter. Also look at the family he's coming in from, because God forbid if your husband dies, that is when you would know that all those people who used to laugh with you from his family side and all those things, it was just all a formality. When that man dies, that is when they will show you their real character. So please, my sisters, or maybe my brothers too, be vigilant. Don't go and follow some bottles. Don't go and follow some money. Look for those qualities. Look for somebody who has your best interest at heart, because all these things wouldn't happen. And if you're a man, please love your son, love your daughter, love your children, and try to love their mothers too. Okay? Because all these things, and a lot of people it's becoming a disgrace now. And I'm talking about this because now it has become public way that Osofu Peni disowned his son. And whenever anybody hears this, what at all did they do? What at all did they do? You understand? So, my name is Lash. And thank you for listening. I'll give you more updates, okay? Peace out. Beautiful.